Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on. It's going to get wild and crazy today. Let's have a little music first, though. I'm waiting for my guest to call in. Someday. Yeah, we're going to go back to the shack one more time.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't know what to do.
Big movie day in As always, every week in Boston is movie time. I mean, people are making movies over and over and over again. So you tell us about where you've been, Jake Gyllenhaal and all of that.
Well, I can't even I had signed a NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, so I really can't talk about it. I just, you know, had some fun lately, you know, and I've been busy in my industry. And, of course, my friend, I just want to give a shout-out. My friend Jay Giannone has got a film coming in this week here, Saturday, at the one of the theaters downtown. Jesus, couldn't make it the fucking – hold on. There.
Okay. Well, we got one thing that they oh, here he is. Maybe this is. Maybe we got him. Let's see. Let's try
this.
Yeah,
I got some kind of. I can't hear you.
Rudy. Rudy.
Yeah.
Rudy.
Hey, there you are. Yeah, we don't know what happened. But anyway, Rudy, let's start the show off right. How are you? Give us the usual answer.
Well, I woke up this morning.
That's what we like to hear.
I heard all about your wonderful week and your adventure up in Missoula, Montana.
Rudy, it was, they call it the last best place. I'm going to get off speaker here. The last best place, and it's true. Missoula, Montana is the last best place. It was just the people, the beauty of the mountains, the beauty of the town, the whole thing. Just absolutely fantastic.
And there was a lot of Clinton fans up there. I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. The place was packed. It was love and peace and joy like the Sugar Shack, man. You know, just all these college kids. I mean, we could write a book, do a movie on our trip to Missoula in 2 days.
That's wonderful news. That's wonderful.
We flew in there, and Billy dropped out, but now he's back. And so, hey, Billy, say hi to Rudy.
Hey, Rudy, can you guys hear me? We got cut off.
No, now we can.
Yeah, I can hear
Rudy.
You now. So we're all connected. Let's go to work, Tom.
You got it, buddy. Well, we got to bring the public up to date what happened out there. First of all, we got on, you know, my buddy, I want to give a shout-out to George Albrecht and the Albrecht Auto Group for supplying us the transportation to Missoula. Then all of the auto groups, they've got Nissan in Middleborough, Massachusetts, and Woven Foreign Motors here and around here, the Infinity of Norwood, you know, so check out their locations. We owe them a lot. They gave us transportation to interview Rudy in Vegas and now this Missoula, Montana. But it's a little horse, one horse town, Rudy, and people are beautiful, people are friendly, and they filled the place. Those kids came out, not just kids. I mean, everybody from 17 to 70 was in there.
That's unbelievable.
And packed. I mean, just packed. I mean, they knew what they were ready for. I mean, and the place was full of, Rudy, not one cop in the place.
Not one cop?
Not one cop.
That's how long
ago. Missoula's a peaceful place.
Yeah.
Civilized town, right?
Totally civilized. Not one cop in the theater. I think I saw one bicycle cop. That's a cruiser, a horse, and a bicycle cop in Missoula, Montana. And
that reminds me of the old days of the Sugar Shack, where no cops, no nothing. Everything was peaceful.
Yeah, and it was. And, you know, he's a monster. He's just a monster. I haven't seen his show in almost 50 years. And he was so gracious. His daughter, the poor guy, he had a herniated disc, so he was in pain. He went to the acupuncturist in the afternoon, and so we had to wait. We didn't go in as we thought we were going in at 4 o'clock, so we didn't get in there till 6. And his daughter Chrissy is a doll. She just kept us up to date. Susanna and she were talking all afternoon like they were old buddies. She embraced us, brought us down. We went down into the green room, and there was George sitting there. Without the hair, but in the gowns, he had a business suit on, looking like the business suit, looking like the boss.
Tom, but you should tell the audience what the story is all about.
We had that beautiful podcast with them the other day, and we wanted to.
Public that are listening in, that you went to Montana to interview George Clinton in the Parliament.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We went to get the story the same. We wanted him to basically to repeat what he told us on the podcast, and you should check out that podcast because it's one of the funniest 20-25 minutes you'll ever hear in your life of George going off on how the Funkadelics were created. But we wanted to get that on film. And we went down in there, and when George was all set up with his camera, and when I'm sitting, there was three or four of us in the room. Susanna was in the room, and Shane was in the room, Susanna's husband. Chrissy was in the room. So it was basically family, Rudy, and George and I. And I said, George, I hope you feel okay, and I'm sorry you're in pain, but if you can just give us a little time and tell us about your time at the Sugar Shack. And he started. He said, well, man, he says, we were coming back. We had I forget where he said he was performing. I don't know if it was Paul's Mall or something. And he says it was our last performance. Whatever it was their last performance as the Parliaments. He says, and then we had no money. He says, we were trying to get back to New Jersey. And he says, somehow we ended up in Cambridge with these students. And he says, they turned us out. He says, we started dropping acid in Cambridge. And he says, it's never been the same. they hooked us up with Timothy Leary. He says, Timothy Leary was paying us $64 to drop acid. We were at Harvard. He goes, we were at Harvard dropping acid. He said, smoking marijuana and dropping acid.
Wow.
And he said, that's when I said goodbye to bad.
What?
He says, before then, we were bad. He says, after that, I didn't care about bad anymore. All I cared about was love. He goes, best thing that ever happened to me was acid and marijuana. He says, because after that, I just wanted love. And then he said, Rudy, he got to your club, and then he told the whole story of how you went crazy, yelling at Eddie Harris yelling at you, George Clinton begging you, please put us on. We don't have any money. So I'll let you tell that side of it, Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy, tell your side, Rudy. Go ahead.
Well, he did remind me of the agent that Queen Booker, Eddie Harris, called me and says, if you don't play, those guys are going to come up there and burn the place down. I forgot all of them.
Ooh.
I just have Jay my Sugar Shack down. So Eddie,
evidently he didn't know who he was talking to.
Eddie, you've been booking this club for a while. You know what kind of a crowd we have. You've been up here, you visit. I says, how can you send me these guys that are dressed with the underwear, feathers, army uniforms, helmets, everything? I says, this don't go with our crowd. He says, try it, try it, it'll go, it'll go. I says, I ain't trying it here. I says, he says, that's when he says, I'll burn the place down. I just told me they had no place to go. They had nobody. So I took a turn, and I says, well, I'll put him in the other club in the back room. There we had another club called the Caves. And lo and behold, when they stopped playing, everybody from the Sugar Shack went in the back room. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
I heard that kind of music in my life, you know. Ooh la la, bah, ooh yeah, all that.
It was funky.
And the crowd went crazy. They followed them into the back room. So the next
who was in the front room? Who was in the front room? Like Lou Rawls, something like that? Was Lou Rawls in the front room?
Be in the front room, but I called in my replacement group. I think it was the Lodge came in and went in the front, and I switched them in the back. And the next day, we switched them back to the front, to the Sugar Shack.
And that's the moment that made George Clinton, Powell, and Funkadelic like megastars today, who they are. Huh?
They took
amazing.
Off like a out of hell. It was unbelievable.
Imagine that. It all happened at the Sugar Shack. That's crazy. That's
yep.
amazing.
And he said that, he mentioned it before. There was a documentary about George Clinton and the Funkadelics. And in, well, you saw it, Billy. Tell us.
Yeah. Which one? Which one are you talking about?
You saw a documentary where he gave credit to the Sugar Shack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was like a funky, yeah, there's on YouTube there. There's so much footage there. And he did give a big shout out to, you know, if it wasn't for the Sugar Shack in Boston, I wouldn't be here today. I was like, wow. And I did see him at the Roxy, too. And there's another story that I would never reveal. But we was partying out there. But at the Roxy one time in Boston a few years back, I seen him. And, man, he puts on a great show. He's amazing. George Clinton is really a performer, man. It's amazing.
Well, I told Rudy, I told you they were on stage for 3 hours.
Wow.
That is unbelievable.
Wow.
3 hours. And it never stopped. It got crazier and wilder as he went along. And then
unbelievable.
Well, then the surprise of the day was this kid, Ricky Roeder, who Susanna comes running out. We had done the interview with George, and we're out in the concert hall waiting for setting up. George was setting up the camera, to film the actual concert. And Susanna comes running out. She goes, "You got to come back here. We got a guy named Ricky Roeder who played," and I don't know, I should have written it down. I forget the name of the group. They had a one-hit song that was number one in the country. And,
it was Undisputed Truth.
Who was it?
Undisputed Truth.
Oh, okay, great. What was their song?
I forgot, but I don't have to
look it up. I'll look it up here. Go ahead, talk, Rudy.
It was under the Undisputed Truth that she called me, and I told her, yeah, they worked for me. I remember the name, you know. So
yeah.
So she claimed that you got an interview out of them.
Oh, my God. The kid was, he had a story. You could do a doc, you know. Rudy, the thing is this film that we're getting is priceless. I mean, we could do a documentary. I mean, we could do the George Clinton documentary. We could do the OJ's documentary. We could do the Tavares. I mean, there's so much rich footage here. And he said he came in to the Sugar Shack at the age of 17, but he came out of Detroit at the age of 3. He was playing the guitar. At the age of 4, Motown was knocking on the door. He was a child prodigy. And at the age of 7, he played live. with Stevie Wonder, little Stevie Wonder.
No kidding, little Stevie, our boy.
So he was all around Motown and Stevie. These were all his buddies, and they were all over this guy. This guy was fascinating. And he said, so he kept playing, and he says his influence was Sly and then Jimi Hendrix. And so he adopted their styles, and he said he gave us basically a history of funk. And he said, man, he said he just kept rapping. We had the camera. He stopped. He went right off. He said that the funk started with James Brown. He says, but then he says Sly took it to the next level, and then he says George took it to the ultimate level. And yeah, and he said, yeah. And he said nobody did it like George.
Yeah.
And then
he
said,
one nation under a groove, literally.
Yeah. And
right?
He said, so
oh, man.
He came to Boston. He says he was 17 with the Undisputed Truth. And he said, when we hit that club, he says, we were playing, you know, 2000-something. It was munching Detroit. You were right, Rudy. The route was Toronto, Detroit, Boston, Montreal.
Wow.
And he says, Boston. And he said, man, when we hit the Sugar Shack, he says, that club,
wow.
That club was legendary. He
Boston,
kept yelling,
babe.
Legendary,
wow.
Legendary, the Sugar Shack. And he says, that place, by the time we hit it, he says, all those hippie girls were in there. And George Clinton said, man, we had the hippies following us. So he said, when we showed up at the Sugar Shack, he says, the hippie girls showed up. He says, and they weren't there until we got there. He says, and then, he says, the pimps went crazy, all these white hippie girls. He says, so we made a swap. George Clinton says, we made a swap. They got the hippie girls, and we got the hoes. He says, so the pimps were happy,
God.
And we were happy.
Oh,
yes. Oh, he says, and you know what he said, Rudy? He said the same thing that we met the saxophone player, I think he was, for Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. And he said, they all say the same thing. When we came to town, he said, the hookers had a week off. He says, nobody worked. When the Funkadelics came to town, he says, all the hookers got the week off.
Oh.
He says, and we got the time with the hookers.
Oh, they charged it to the game. They charged it to the game. Oh,
yeah. Oh, my God. He was so funny. He says, yeah, Timothy Leary's paying us $64 to drop acid.
Wow.
I was talking with George on the phone. I said, George, there's one thing about the Sugar Shack. As soon as you mention it, musicians or people that heard about it, they come alive. He says, you're right. He says, as soon as you mention it, I worked there. Some people say they worked there even if they didn't work there. They just want to get the
Wow.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of history being at the Sugar Shack. Maybe that's the title, being at the Sugar Shack, Rudy Garino Sugar Shack.
Yeah, somebody asked George when we were out there, and he says, what's the title? And he says, back to Rudy Garino Sugar Shack. Back to the shack. No, it's back to the shack. I'm going to plug in Undisputed Truth here, and I want to get their song because it was a big song. He was right. It was a number one song. Smiling Faces. This is another one. You know, this is another one to add to the. This is another one to to add to the Sugar Shack, there were just three of them, three singers here I'm looking at. That, do you remember them, Rudy? Do you remember them at all? Go ahead.
No, I don't remember. I remember the group being there when my daughter called me and told me, you know.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Okay, I'm trying to load it up here, but I'm looking at it. There was a girl. A girl and two guys. And they were produced, it was said, produced by Norman Whitfield, whatever that means.
Okay.
And, all right, so let me do this. Let me convert it, and then we're going to load it up here. But, just an amazing, this kid, he's in his 60s now, but he went off on the Sugar Shack. 1971. Undisputed Truth, Smiling Faces. And he went off on how fantastic that whole experience was at the Sugar Shack. He says, yeah, he goes, I was like those other guys. He says, I was trying to, he says, I saw those hippie girls. He says, I was 17. And he says, they were old enough to be my mother. He says, but I got lucky. I got a couple of them, he said.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. It was, you know, Rudy, when we hit Missoula, we just laughed. You know, we met Susanna's in-laws. We had a nice little Mexican meal right next to the Wilma Theater. And we laughed and had terrific fun there. And then laughed once we got inside the whole time with George. You know, I had everything I could do to cover my mouth so that I didn't laugh out loud during the interview. it was unbelievable. And George, well, you spoke to him right afterwards, right? I mean, how was your conversation?
My conversation, I says, you know, George, keep going. I says, and tear the place apart like you did the Sugar Shack. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it.
Oh, they did.
I can't believe we're still talking after almost 50 years.
Yep.
50 years.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
You know, it seems like. Go ahead.
I wish them luck, and I thank them for being so kind and doing whatever he can with his memories of the Shack and sharing it with Tom and my daughter and George Wilson. I said, and I hope it becomes an Oscar-winning documentary.
Yeah, well, yeah. we keep building this stuff, and it will be.
If you want to keep building.
Oh, God, it's just crazy. I mean, it's just, we have to pinch ourselves that it's so good here, you know, with all
it's
of this
piece,
stuff.
It's a piece of Boston history, too. It's a piece of Boston music history, like Soul Club Boston music history. It really is.
And you know, Tom, we didn't even scratch the surface. What do we
right.
got, about 15 acts out of close to 200?
Yeah.
So where do we put the
play-up
on stage?
Well, George... Well, George talks about it that, you know, this is going to be more than one film. This is going to be part one, part two. It's going to be an ongoing thing, my friend.
It could be a series because we...
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. This is, you know, we got so much footage. I mean, just this kid had more energy, and then he gave us the history of funk in about 3 minutes, and he just... You know, like I said, kid, he was, you know, a guy in the 60s, man. And, man, could he wail. Oh, man, could he wail. He had two lead guitarists, the likes of which I can't even remember. And I've seen them all. I mean, I've seen them at, you know, I've seen the Rolling Stones. I've seen Keith Richards and Ronnie Woods. And I said to him, I said, after the show we talked, and I said to him, man, I said, I've seen the Rolling Stones, but, man, those guys, you don't take a backseat to anybody. He goes, oh, no. He says, I've been in the studio with those guys. I mean, this is the kind of level of musicians that we're talking to. We, you know, doing studio work with Ronnie Woods and Keith Richards, these guys. And he says, man, he says, I learned some things from those guys.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, yeah. It's, you know, I'll just tell you this, Rudy. It's hard to stay focused because it's so bewildering. Everything happens so fast and so crazy. But listen, I got the song. Let's want to take a break and listen to the song?
Right. Go ahead. Shoot.
Here we go. Guitar there on the pulled out. That kid was 17 at the time.
Did you notice those licks on the opening? Wang wang on the guitar?
Yeah, that was him. 17. Yeah. 17.
Wow.
And he's still wailing. And man, can he wail. Oh, there was two guys. Oh, you like this. You love this. So I'm coming out the stage. We finished the interview with George. We're coming down the stairs to go out into the concert hall. And there's a guy, you know, in his 70s, and, you know, he's looking hip. I mean, he's certainly not a businessman. He's looking hip, and he's, you know, he's weathered, and he's sitting there, and he says, hey, man, and he says to me, not to the lady guarding the door, he says, hey, man, he says, there's a Blackbird in there. I said, I don't know, and I tried to explain it. Well, he says, look, you go back there, and you find Blackbird, and you tell him Ricky's here. So now, Rudy, you know how I look. I mean, when I get on stage, I play in these comedy clubs, and they got all these young kids with their baseball caps turned backwards, and they're all talking about smoking pot and, you know, making bongs and whatever. And so when I get on stage, you know, I'm 30 years older than these guys. This audience freezes. They don't know what the hell to think. And for the longest time, it would take me 5 minutes to warm them up. So I knew, so I said, something's wrong. They don't know what to think when I get up there. So one night, an idea came into my head, and I turned around and I said to the audience, the first thing I said, I know, you're looking at me thinking, so what's this asshole going to do, our taxes? And the place cracked up. So I look like an IRS agent, right? I look like the tax guy. So I limp backstage, and there's two guys talking, and I don't know who Blackbird is. So I go up to these guys. I said it just like this. I didn't realize what I was doing. I said I'm looking for Blackbird. Well, Blackbird's got dreads down to his ass, right? He turns around, he looks at me horrified. I could tell it was him because this guy wanted to run for the back door. He looked at me and he wouldn't talk. And the other guy's looking at him like, when are you going to tell him that you're Blackbird? He's frozen. He looks like a doe in headlights, this guy. He's frozen. He's shaking. He's looking at the door. And he doesn't know why this IRS-looking dude is asking for Blackbird. And I realized it was him. I says, you're Blackbird. He goes, yeah, man. Yeah. What's up? I said, well, there's a guy named Ricky looking for you. Oh, my God. He's got his hand on his heart. Oh, my God. Thank God. I goes, you thought I was with the IRS, didn't you? He says, something, FBI. He said, something. He said, man, you scared the shit out of me. So Blackbird and this kid, Ricky, those two guys were the lead guitarists, and, man, it was hard to tell who was better, that they freaking ripped the joint 4 or 5 times.
Wow.
You know, George, it was he must have had 30 people on the stage with him. He had 3-4 dancers, singers, backup singers. His daughter's a backup singer, dancer. He had, it's like watching Cirque du Soleil with funk. Then he brings this guy out who's a contortionist, and he's all dressed in white with a pimp hat and a furry thing, and he starts doing, you know, he contortions. He's bending over backwards, just like you see in the circus. And, you know, and they're pulling up girls from the audience on stage, and they're, George is 74, man. And they had this one blonde between the two of them, and it looked like a sex act. And George is behind, humping her from the behind. And this big dude in this feathered outfit, white feathers, with the big white feathered pimp hat. And he's doing her from the front, and this girl loved it. It was insane. Jesus. You know, and he said, Rudy, when we in the interview, he says, yeah, he says, I used to get naked. I'd get naked on Rudy's tables. Go ahead, Rudy.
He used to get carried away, boy. I'm telling you, it was just a barrel of fun. The crowd and everything just went along with their new formula or with their funk, which we never seen or heard of until they arrived.
Right.
Wow. Imagine that.
I remember seeing them, and I remember my wife and I being scared out of our minds. We thought this was the end of our lives, that the black people had lost it. The black black people had lost it. They flipped out, and they were going to do, and he said, I forgot about this, but he said they had chicken feet. they bought from the costume place, they bought chicken feet. Chicken feet on stage.
He's a performer, dude. That's a performer.
He said he'd get naked on the table. What would be the audience's reaction when they got naked, Rudy?
Oh, I'll tell you, it was a wild event. It was just wild. When they were there, they tore the place apart. Sorry, we never filmed that stuff because, believe me, they would be paying millions of dollars for that show.
Oh,
right?
My God.
You're right, Rudy. You're so right, dude. You know the business, buddy, better than anybody. I'm telling you.
Well,
amazing.
So he said he'd take a bottle of wine and pour over his head, and it would drip down his body and come off the end of his member, and it looked like he's peeing. He says, and he'd take a glass and catch it and then drink it. And he says everybody thought he was drinking pee, but he was really drinking wine.
Oh, what a fucking nuts.
Oh, that's crazy. That must have been a crazy. You guys must have had a fucking great time. That's nuts.
Well, Rudy, I'm gonna spill the beans here, and maybe I'm speaking premature, but I'm gonna tell you where George is right now. I'm gonna tell you how freaky this whole thing's getting. George went to Atlanta to visit his in-laws a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
His brother-in-law comes up to him and says, man, we know that you're doing this thing on the Sugar Shack. He says, you won't believe what happened. He says, I got a friend in Boston who called me up. You know, he says, this friend had no idea that I knew you or that there was a documentary going on. And the friend says to George's brother-in-law, this guy in Boston, his father was a videographer back in the 60s and 70s. Took pictures of everything.
He did.
This is the guy. He says, I got these films inside the Sugar Shack.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Wow.
He says, I've got Super 8 movies of the inside of the Sugar Shack, of the groups on stage.
No shit.
He says, and that's where George is right now. He's at the guy's house looking at these films.
Jesus, let him send some stuff over. Find out where we can get all this stuff. We could do wonders with it.
Are you kidding? This is going to go in the documentary. This is like open a time vault.
This is doing the work, exactly. Doing the work, getting the work done.
That's another thing. But, I mean, if he's got the length of the shows, you're already in business. We could sell it to
I don't know if he's got the whole length, and they don't know. George is going to try to figure out the video and the audio part. How it is. He says some of them don't have audio. Some of them just have film. But who cares? We can play the audio.
Yeah, exactly. Mix it in.
The audio with the film or something, you know?
Exactly. And he said, and he says they used to invite the bands back to the house. So he's got pictures of the Delphonics in their house.
Wow.
The Delphonics.
Yeah, video.
Another good group. That was one of the early groups.
Oh, yeah. But, Rudy, imagine.
You know, the Delphonics, one of the Delphonics, his father was a judge in New York.
Really?
Randy. I forgot his last name. The other two were brothers, and Randy was the other guy that was with them. There was three of them.
Well,
and his father was a judge, but I forgot his last name in New York. So,
well, I'm telling you,
it's
spooky.
Play another fucking song, will you? Play another fucking song for crying out loud.
These groups came out. This is very similar group, similar style to what we just played. The 3 Degrees. When Will I See You Again? Did they come from Boston?
I really don't know, but the manager, I can't think of his name, but the one thing he used to say was, we're as poor as a church house rat. He went to England. He scored very big out there.
Wow. Wow. Well, I got another piece. I'm going to play this piece. Oh, let's do our thing to Argentina in case they're listening. This only takes a couple of seconds.
Hi,
boys in Argentina.
We are Ivan,
Guido,
Matias, of Will Eterno.
From Argentina.
Here's a piece of history. and this kid Ricky Rota turned us on to this, that James Brown started the funk, and then Sly, of course, and then George. He says now, he says he was living in Detroit, and he says Motown had to make a decision. They saw the way things were going. And he said, I hope I picked the right one here. I think I did. He said, they wanted to go funk or not. And he said, they finally decided to go over. And they went with this song. I hope I got the song. I don't think I put it in. Let's see if we can do it. Yeah, here we go. They went with the Temptations. And they brought a funk song to the Temps, and I didn't even realize the connection. Do you know what it is, Rudy?
No.
Here we go. Let's listen to it. This is very interesting. No, that's not it. Let's try this one. Damn, why didn't it go in? Maybe it went in
under. No problem with it.
No. It's maybe it went in under this. Why didn't it upload? Let me check and see why it's not here. Maybe I didn't hit. Okay, I'm gonna have to go back. Anyway, it's a great story of how they went into. They decided to go funk, and what they did, I'll just explain it here until I find the actual song. They went with Cloud Nine.
Oh, Cloud Nine. Is that the song?
Yeah, that's the they went with.
A quick story. Motown called me and wanted me to change the name Sugar Shack. And I said, I shouldn't change the name Sugar Shack. The guy that represented George was at Motown at one time too, I think.
Yeah. Oh, he was. Why didn't they like the name Sugar Shack?
That's what I told him. He says, well, it don't sound right or something like that. I says, listen, there was a song. We took it from the song because it was a cute thing. It's a crazy little shack, and everybody goes to the Sugar Shack. What's wrong with that?
You know? Right. Exactly.
Right.
Let me see if I can find this. I just uploaded it again. Let's see where it went. You can now you understand that George had made such a George had made such an impression on the music scene. Here it is. Okay, let's listen. You can hear the funk. Here we go.
All right.
I'm doing fine. Let me tell you about time.
Because the Temptations were all about Ain't Too Proud to Beg, You're My Girl.
Right.
And for them to cross over, I mean, that was a big jump for those guys.
Right, right. Did it work? Was that a hit for them, the 12-9?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was. But this next one that I'm uploading right now, this next one was huge. That was the first one. This guy, like I said, this guy gave us a great little history in this interview. I mean, the pieces, the things that we've got on film, Rudy, are priceless. They're going to mean so much. This film is not going to be not only about the Shack and about racial tension and about all of that, but the history of these groups. I mean, we got Tavares talking about how they toured the country before they had a hit song, and then what happened after the hit song, and then, you know, you got I forget who the who called us that day from Tavares, and he's telling Butchie that, hey, man, you know, I realized that you did all the choreography, and I never had time to thank you. We had to capture the family moment, an actual family moment. I mean, these guys getting emotional about, you know, their history together, you know, 50 years together. And so, I mean, we've just got some incredible footage. And then this guy the other day giving us the history of funk.
It's unbelievable. Well, it's you never know what's around the corner. You turn one page and you got more on the next page.
Yep, and it gets it's, you know, it's going down here. Now this is the big song. Here we go. This song has got over 9 million views on YouTube. This was the one. Little Funk, The Temptations. This really got funked out. There we go. Yep. We'll be right back.
It was the 3rd of September. That day I'll always remember. Yes, I will. 'Cause it was the day that my daddy died. I never got a chance to see him. Never heard nothing but bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you. Tell me the truth. Mama just hung her head and said, son, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died,
all he left us was alone. Papa never was a day in his life.
And Mama, some bad talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching. Talking about saving souls and all the time leeching. Stealing in debt and stealing in the name of the Lord. Mama just hung her head and said,
Papa was a rolling stone.
Heck on it.
Wherever he laid his hat say Papa never was much on thinking. Spent most of his time chasing women and drinking.
Mama looked up with a keen eye and said, son,
Papa was a rolling stone.
Well, 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 well.
Well,
well,
hey, yeah. What's wrong? And when he died, all he left us was a long, 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 long. Papa was a rolling stone. Well, hey, what's wrong? And when he died,
all he left us was
this Ricky Rhoad is telling us, because that was the influence of James Brown and of Sly and of George Clinton, that they changed the music scene, that a group like the Temptations, which was a traditional R&B group, decided to cross over. And, you know, you got to think of that was going on when the Beatles were starting with their crazy stuff, you know, Sgt. Pepper, and they were making songs that went, that song's 11 minutes long, and they were playing that on, you know, radio, conventional radio. You know, I mean, and there's so much little singing in there. I mean, there's so much jazz in there. It sounds like Miles in the beginning, Miles Davis, you know. Wow, you know, and I remember, you know, the music scene was blown away. I mean, that was like Good Vibrations. The, you know, the Wilsons were going out, and the Beach Boys were going out. You know, cause the Beatles had taken them to a whole new place, and everybody followed. And then there's George Clinton's influence right there.
Imagine that.
Just great. Well, let's play a little. We can't have a show about George Clinton and not play when when they played
Come
this
on.
The other night. The place went crazy. Here we go.
Tether him off, we're gonna tether him off, the mother sucker. Tether him off, the sucker. Tether him off, we're gonna tether him off, the mother sucker. Tether him off, the sucker. Tether him off, we're gonna tether him off, the mother sucker. Tether him off, the sucker. Tether him off, we're gonna tether him off, the mother sucker. Tether him off, the sucker.
We'll be right back.
imagine. There had to be 3,000 people in that theater, at least.
Wow. Imagine that.
And, Rudy, they didn't have seats on the floor. They had, it was all stand-up.
All stand-up?
Yeah, everybody down on the bottom floor, the only seats were in the balcony. And the entire floor, it was packed. So you're not taking up seats. You just had body on body dancing.
Yeah.
They danced the whole show. It wasn't a concert.
Yeah.
You didn't sit down and watch. You danced.
Yeah. That's how it was in the Rocks. I seen them in like 1990, like 91 or something like that. And it was the same thing. Everybody, the Roxy in Boston, and everybody did the same thing. Everybody stood up and it was like a big party. It was crazy. Best show ever, though. He's amazing. And George Clinton, he's a legend.
You know, Rudy, one of the things...
All because of Rudy Garino and the Sugar
Shack. Right.
Put that out there. Right?
That's
all
right. That started... Funk started at the... George P-Funk.
Yeah. Yeah.
P-Funk started at the Shack. Rudy,
yeah.
One of the things George said was that when they played, a lot of the groups came in early to see, check them out.
I said we had, I remember Chris Christopherson was in there for about a week or 4 or 5 days at least. He was vacationing on the Cape Cod. And he used to come in 3-4 times of the week. And
wow,
with his wife, Rita Coolidge.
Wow.
He didn't come in with Barbara Streisand? He didn't come in with Barbara Streisand?
he's being funny. What was the name of that song? The jazz singer. Name of that song, the jazz singer. Remake
Jolson.
Of Rudy's favorite there, Al Jolson.
Right.
You know, but no, he said, George said that all the groups wanted to know what the fools were doing. He said they called them the fools.
Wow.
Those crazy fools. Because, well, they were totally breaking tradition, you know?
Yeah, they
wow.
were.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, is it time
well,
to
tell
wrap
you, Rudy,
it up?
Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to tell you what a mind blowing week. Mind blowing. Mind blowing week.
Man.
I mean, just. What a fabulous spot to see a concert. What beautiful people. And to see that whole thing just go off the way it did. 3 hours.
Amazing.
3 hours nonstop.
Amazing.
Dancing and partying.
Wow.
But you guys, congratulations to you guys on all the work you've been doing. Everybody, I'm a big fan, Billy Porter. I love you guys.
Well, thanks. You know,
one of the fact,
there was so much marijuana smoke in the place. George comes up to me and goes, man, I'm starving.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Have a good week, my friend. Right,
Rudy, we'll see you next week. Everybody who stayed with the show, thank you.
Tell George
We're
going to
keep this going, man.
Tell George Wilson hi, and we haven't scratched the surface yet.
Oh, man. Nothing. It keeps getting. We peel the onion, and there's more onion to peel.
A lot of smelly garlic, too.
All right, take care, gentlemen.
Okay, so long.
Yeah.
We're going to sign off with Rudy's favorite song.
There's a crazy little shack beyond the tracks. And everybody calls it the Sugar Shack. It's just a coffee house made out of wood. Espresso coffee tastes mighty good. That's not the reason why I've got to get back up to that Sugar Shack. Oh, baby, to that Sugar Shack. And there's this cute little girlie, she's a working there. Black leotards on her feet are bare. I'm gonna drink a lot of coffee, spend a little cash. Make that girl love me when I put on some trash. You can understand why I've got to get back up to that sugar shack. We'll leave it to that sugar shack. Yeah, honey, to that sugar shack. Oh, yes, to that sugar shack. Now that sugar shack queen is married to me, yeah. We just sit around and dream of those old memories. Ah, but one of these days I'm gonna lay down tracks in the direction of that sugar shack. Just me and her, yes, we're gonna go back up to that sugar shack. Whoa, to that sugar shack. Yeah, honey, to our sugar shack. Oh, yes, to our sugar shack.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, everybody, thank you so much for calling in and listening, and it was just a fabulous show every week. This gets wilder and crazier. Rudy, thank you again. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. God bless everybody.
All right. So long, man.